The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Lord knows they'll try. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the National Intel Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN Republic Broadcasting.org. It's the Chinese junk of free speech. You know what a junk is? It's one of those boats that would sit in the Pearl River off of Hong Kong, and people would live there and trade and whatnot. And they trade because they had all sorts of different things to trade. And we've got all sorts of different ideas here. And so go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the donate button. Send some funny copper coins with square holes in the middle to keep this thing going. That's how I start my show. This is Patrick Slattery. I have the show National Bugle Radio. I always start my show with a little entreaty for fundage, badly needed fundage for RBN. So please do that. John Stattmiller is out today. I've been asked to substitute today, and I asked Paul Stevenson to join me. Paul, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm here, Patrick, and it's great to be with you from across the pond.
Yeah, it's great to be with you. Yeah, this kind of came on short notice, but I think it will be doable. I always listen to that song, We Must Take America Back, and that is an emphatic, yes, we must. We must. Will we? I don't know, but it is crunch time now. This is the crunch time. Hopefully we'll take America back. Second best option, maybe just let China have it and deal with it. I'm almost ready to just settle for that. Hashtag I stand with the Chinamen. Usually I use a different hashtag with a few less letters and a different word for Chinamen, but I'm just trying to keep everything kosher here. Not really kosher, though. So lots is going on. Paul, we were going to be recording a show for doing it about this time. Did you have anything that you had planned before we start moving into various news items and whatnot? Did you have anything planned for what you wanted to do tonight?
No, not really. I've got I wanted to discuss the online safety bill, or the online safety bill over here, which is brought in, which I think's problematical. Let's put it that way. And then just to respond to you about, you know, in the song about taking America back, and you know things reaching the crunch time. You know, from us doing these shows, you know, sometimes we're more positive than others, and sometimes, you know, we're more, pessimistic about it. But I'm in more of a positive mood at the minute. I don't know whether it's because I did that conference or what. I just see that. I just see that the sort of forces that are, you know, that are against the Western countries, they're so unnatural. And they are so false and not based in reality. I mean, they really, in my opinion, you know, those who push this kind of stuff and those who attempt to live in it, they're not living in reality. And, you know, this whole cultural Marxist thing, it is a rejection of reality in so many ways. And, you know, I just think that reality exists, you know, independently of your relationship with it. It's really not, it couldn't care less whether you're living with it. It's just a force all by itself. And it is a very, you know, painful and inconvenient way of crashing in and around those who are not living consistent with it. And I think reality and those of us who, you know, live in reality are actually interested in the truth and reality, because I guess that's all truth is reality. I think we will win out. You're talking about people who are more well-meaning, more decent, more caring. You know, we're not, you know, the irony is both, you know, the Jewish element and the far left who love all the satanic filth that they pump out. You know, I think the reality is that they are the ones who are full of hatred. You know, that's the irony. If you look at some of their posts online, if you look at some of their rhetoric, they're extremely hateful people. And they're just, I said this at the conference, you know, that these types of people are impervious to irony, you know, and sort of oblivious to their own odious double standards, or rather willfully blind to them. So, I mean, I'm more positive today. Because I think what you also said about it is crunch time. I think it is this, you know, it's now that these things are reaching ahead. You're looking at two very sets of different, vastly different interests, you know, in Jewish interests and the white Christian European nation's interests, and the far left, as I say, that, you know, who lap all that up and who love it all. Those interests are so vastly different that it's untenable that they can coexist for any length of time. And I think you're seeing this kind of desire to just to immanentize the eschaton, you know, to get it on, because there's a lot of tension, and human beings aren't built, I don't believe, for prolonged periods of tension, because there's no peace, Patrick, you know. So mm-hmm. I think you have them both sides that want to sort of get this resolved somehow, you know, and I hope it doesn't get resolved in some horrible, violent way where, you know, a lot of people, you know, en masse have to suffer before out of the ashes comes some peace. I hope that there will be more sensible heads prevail so that can be avoided, you know.
You know, you mentioned cultural Marxism and of course, things are just going so far in such a bizarre way.
It just, yeah, exactly. It
so happens that recently I was asked by a young college student friend of mine to help her out with a school project, and she's got to write a letter to the New York Times in the voice of Karl Marx. So, you know, I've been going back into reading some Karl Marx, and then. Just now, as I was leaving work, I bump into none other than my friend Freddie, the communist Jew, and I think, oh, this is great! I can help get my Marx voice, you know, by talking to him. So we're talking, but here's actually the I think the takeaway from this, right? If when you actually look at Marx and what he actually said, and then you compare it to what's going on now, all these people who are adherents to Marx, disciples of Marx, and what they're saying now, I have the feeling that if you could bring back Marx, he'd look around at these people and say, what the hell are you saying? Why are you blaming
this? This isn't what I meant.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, because Marx, he was a serious person. He had a lot of ideas, and some of them were unrealistic, but some, you know, some were very realistic, and he was engaging with other people on a very serious basis. And the idea that, you know, all of these things that we're being told now about equity and this goes way beyond anything Marx was ever seriously talking about. You know, Marx was somebody who, he was a reporter. A lot of people don't know this. If you read the International Herald Tribune, that is the modern day version of the New York Tribune, and he was the London correspondent for the New York Tribune, and he covered things like British colonization of India, of which he was a fan. He was a proponent of British colonization of India. He was also a proponent of capitalism. A lot of people wouldn't know that, but he thought that capitalism will produce all sorts of internal contradictions and inevitably, eventually, pave the way for something better.
He believed in a certain amount of capitalism was initially required before going into, you know, the sort of system that he would prefer, you know. I take your point that, you know, that they what we're witnessing today is just the even though I'm not a fan of Marx in any way, if you accepted that, say, just if you did, and I know that's a contentious issue, but if you accept that he was well-meaning, what we're witnessing today is a sort of a, how would you describe it? What's the word I'm looking for? It's a distorted sort of much darker, twisted version of ideas that may have been well-meaning, to the point of you get this absurdity now where, you know, it's just this absolute bizarro world of where it goes into all this gender stuff. I mean, that type of stuff would never have crossed Karl Marx's mind when he was talking about equality, that, you know, gender fluidity and this insanity that we're witnessing today. And that's why I think it can't stand, because I think ultimately most people do have a radar of some sort of moral compass innately in them on some level, that this thing will eventually, I think, just implode and collapse under its own sort of degenerate weight, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the, you know, the cultural Marxists, I guess they're cultural Marxists because basically they've left everything about economics behind. There's nothing really much about economics nowadays except just making white man pay. But, you know, what's happening today in the United States, we've got three very important racial trials going on at this minute. They're in slightly different stages. So you've got the Charlottesville trial that includes defendants, I guess a dozen defendants. Prominent amongst them are Richard Spencer, Jason Kessler, and Chris Cantwell. You've got that going on. You've got in Wisconsin the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse. I believe that's his last name, Rittenhouse. And so you've got that going on there. He was the young man who was being attacked in Kenosha as he was among a group of people who were trying to defend private property in general, but specifically trying to keep a mob of Antifa from Antifa arsonists from blowing up a gas station. This is what they were trying to do at the time. They were lighting dumpsters of trash on fire and pushing them towards this gas station, trying to blow up the gas station. And in the process,
as you do,
yeah. Yeah, in the process of this, Kyle was a medic, and he was trying to, you know, give first aid to people, and he wound up getting isolated from his group and chased down by a mob of Antifa, who were armed, by the way, with firearms, as Kyle was armed himself, and wound up being attacked, but saved himself, and killed two and maimed the third. And then you've got this third trial that's just starting in Georgia. This young black kid, I don't know how young he was. He was probably about 20. He was the jogger. He had been casing a construction site repeatedly over a course of months, and the construction site was being robbed. And of course, you know, construction tools have value and can be taken to pawn shops or sold, you know, on Craigslist or whatnot. And his name is Ahmed Robbery or something. It sounds like armed robbery. And the jogger was confronted by a couple of people who were, or by a few people two people in a pickup truck, and I guess somebody else was in a different vehicle, regarding his actions, and they were armed, and he attempted to disarm them and was shot in the process. So you got these three trials going on, and the thing is, they're basically what you have is whiteness on trial, or whites on trial for being racist. This is the whole thing, and
it's ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, just to tie it all together, what you've got is in 2017 you had a group of people who, I mean, the Unite the Right rally was ostensibly to defend statues of Robert E. Lee, but really it was a demonstration to petition the government to redress grievances, because white people were having their civil rights taken away. And what you've been seeing ever since then, and really before, what you've been seeing is just an acceleration of a response coming from the establishment: shut up, white man, you don't have any rights.
Yeah. Well, as you know, the Jewish influence is in my view, probably the biggest, element of all this, because they are driven by ethnic hatred, and they are driven by hatred of anything connected with white Europeans. And okay, you know, they've got their own interests, which are different, but it's not only that they have their own interests, they are actively subverting our culture and our interests, and they're actively hostile. A lot of the time, I when you look at history, it's because of revenge, I believe. So, you know, they're trying to, you know, exercise and sort of deal with a grudge that they have. But you see, the thing is, I was watching I watched some of the stuff recently in the United States with there was some sort of elections going on there. I'm not going to lie, I came back from the conference, I chilled out for a bit, I tried to switch off from content and stuff, but I caught a bit of it. And the theme is that, you know, basically that, the white people are, you know, sort of, again, racist, and they're pushing back against critical race theory and this type of thing. And this is really, you know, and they were, you know, stating that this is really because of race. So they're trying to say it's about racism from white people. That's why they hate Biden. That's why they hate, you know, the Democrats. This is just those white people, you know, being racist again. But it's because of what they are doing. And it crossed my mind that, you know, that they make it so obvious that, you know, the people who don't think about themselves as white, because I think white people have that individualistic thing. There's been so much brainwashing and indoctrination and intimidation over the last few decades about even having any white interest that, you know, some people suppress those. Some people are completely actually have those instincts and awareness that they are actually a distinct group, suppressed, you know, because of the brainwash, and other people have been intimidated. But they've made people aware they're white, and then they've through attacking them all the time. And in my opinion, particularly in the United States, they've done that too early, because the demographics are not in their favor yet. To pull that off, because you're starting to see white people getting their act together. And we went to that conference, Patrick, and I went to the hotel. It's a beautiful hotel. Someone's obviously, you know, Mark and that organization are obviously organized. This wasn't some, you know, cheap hotel that some really struggling, desperate political party are doing. It was a nice hotel. Everything about it was classy. Everything about the people were classy and well-dressed, well-mannered, very articulate people. And they're getting organized. We're getting organized over here because we're sick of it. We're sick of being attacked, and we're sick of our culture being attacked. We're sick of our religions being under attack and threatened and destroyed. So,
right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
It's clear enough. It's clear enough. Okay, so this is the National Intel Report with Patrick Slattery filling in for John Stattmiller, and Paul Stevenson is with us from across the pond. And before the break, we were talking about it's crunch time now, and we mentioned that the demographics are still not all the way against us. So there, I do think it's crunch time. I think there was an acceleration from the anti-white side as a result of, in large part, as a result of, in response to the election of Donald Trump and a few other trends, that there had been for 50, 60 years, and maybe even longer than that, there had been this slow, steady trend of increase in what we call Jewish power, but also demographic trends. I guess the white population of the United States, as a term of share of population, was probably more or less at its height in the 1950s, and that share has been shrinking steadily. And then one other trend is awareness of a lot of things. And that has moved in a couple of different directions. I think I think people in, say, the 1920s or the 1950s were probably a lot more aware of Jewish power, which was probably a lot less back then. I base that partly on the Joel Stein article you're probably familiar with, where he starts off saying he's comparing a poll taken by the ADL in the 1960s to one about a dozen years ago, and saying he can't believe how stupid he is, because in the 1960s, most people responded, yes, Hollywood is controlled by Jews. And now most people, you know, only like less than 20% said yes. And he says, how stupid are people? We Jews totally control Hollywood. So there's been a lot of trends going on, gradual trends. But here we are at crunch time. And, you know, I think the question is going to be, did they step down on that accelerator, pedal to the metal, or metal to the pedal to the metal, just a little bit too early?
I think so. I think that's what's going on, because if you're really, really, if you're driven by hatred, you really want to get your enemy out of there. And you're so desperate for it that you just can't wait for it. And then you can make mistakes. And, you know, as intelligent or as, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? They are intelligent and they're organized as they are. I always think and I always say it that their biggest weakness is their aggression. They make mistakes. They bite off more than they can chew. They end up making politicians that they control look absurd and ridiculous. And it gets embarrassing, and then they get a reaction. And I think that's what's going on now. And as I say, you know, when you look at the demographics, I think, you know, they're great at playing the, you know, identity politics when it works for them. And then laughably, you know, they start moaning about how this is white identity politics. Well, what do you expect if you're going to try and rig the game against white people and constantly persecute them? You expect us to sort of have some, you know, pity for you because you're losing the battle in a fight that you picked. You made it all about race because you hate white people so much. And white people are becoming aware because they're under attack, and it's those people that have and the media they control that have made them aware, and they should be aware anyway. But you know, it when the demographic shifts are so dramatic, you know, you hear people talking about and Tucker Carlson. You know, I listen to Tucker and I like Tucker, but you know, I was listening to him last night and I had to switch it off. It was just like, shut up, Tucker, just shut up, mate. You know, give it a rest. That ship has sailed. You know, this idea that we're all American and we all have the same rights, equal under God. I was like, yeah, maybe at least even 50 years ago, Tucker, that was possible. But the demographics have shifted to the point that, you know, unless you have some serious U-turn on the political incohesion and the demographic shifts are addressed, that whole idea is nonsense. That was based on ethnic, religious, racial cohesion in the early days of America, which is no longer the case. People seem to think that demographics don't matter, but they obviously do. That's why nations are formed, because they're different. The more you have, you know, the more similar you are to someone, the more grounds there are for intimacy and connection and harmony. But once that's changed so dramatically, once groups stop becoming a minority, you know, and a small minority really in a larger culture, then they start getting organized, and it's human nature that they want, you know, they want their interests to be first and to be pushed to the forefront. And the Jews know this, which is why they changed the demographic shift so dramatically. So I think just to answer your question in a very long-winded way. Sorry.
All right, well, we'll be right back.
When I get there, I'm learning to fly around the clouds. But what goes up come down.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And we have nicotine-stained hands, I guess. That is Ohio, which was used as a theme song for many years by Rush Limbaugh. By the way, Patrick Slattery filling in for John Stadtmiller, and I have the show on National Bugle Radio, 1 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. And we have with us Paul Stevenson, the last man standing. Is that the last show of the week on Sunday night? Just almost. It almost is.
Almost. I think. Yeah, there's a couple more after mine, and then that's it, I think. And then, because mine's on 9 till 10 Central, and then there's two more 10, I think after that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so, and I know you gave a speech over the past weekend at an event that was staged by Mark Collett, and because that will be featured heavily in my show tomorrow, we don't have to go into it too much. But, you know, we're talking about all the diversity in the United States. And I walk through big box stores from time to time, and I see what's going on in the United States. I see our population, our demographics, and our human capital. And I look around, and, you know, I see, the first thing I notice is just how obese so many people are, how unhealthy people are. So we've got a ton of obese, unhealthy people. Then obviously you notice, a lot of people speaking different languages and wearing different clothing. And so you've got a whole bunch of people who are obviously very new to this country. So you've got that. One thing I've been noticing increasingly is all these white women walking around with mulatto children without a father around, or sometimes walking around with black men. I guess they haven't had their mulatto children to be deserted yet. I don't know. But you see, you know, just a whole bunch of these trends. And then I think, you know, what does that portend for the future? Are we really going to have a next generation that is capable of maintaining us in a lifestyle that we've become accustomed to? And then I think of, you know, going into maybe a similar kind of box store in China. I'm sure they have them. Would you be seeing the same things? The question is, I don't want to be too black-pilled, because I do want to find the rays of sunshine. But the question is, or I do want to find a golden shaft when all around is darkness, to paraphrase, I guess it was Oscar Wilde's being portrayed by Michael Pollan in Monty Python, when he was comparing His Majesty to a stream of bat piss. Yes, Your Majesty is like a golden shaft when all around is darkness. Anyway, can we maintain civilization like this? Can we possibly maintain leadership of the human race? And really, with this crew, would we want to?
Wow.
Long-winded, and I know, kind of.
I think that's going to have to change before. Yeah. I mean, the way I think you would need separation there. You know. So because what's happened is, you know, the West has become a microcosm sort of for the world. And in terms of, you know, usually everybody has their own little patch, but everybody's been, you know, crowded into what was previously the white man's patch and the culture he created. And so, when it gets all mixed up, it's obviously going to be completely detrimental to the dominant culture in Europe, because that's where, you know, and the European nations and the derivatives of that, you know, in the United States and Australia, whatever, because those are the areas where that culture is exclusive. So, you know, if certain, you know, religious practices die out in the black community, or Islamic practices, which they don't anyway, but if the second generation keep them going, to put it mildly, but if they died out, and if their race, and you know, was diluted through, say, race mixing, and then their culture was diluted through the secularization that the West is largely now, they still have their homelands, their ancestral homelands, where these things are still thriving, whereas the white man doesn't. So because this stuff's occurring in lands which are, you know, white dominant, and exclusively so. I mean, we're not white dominant anywhere else. So I think you're going to probably look at separation, because that's what people do anyway. You know, they try and demonize this as if it's some sort of evil thing, but that's only because we've grown up in, you know, the last few decades where you're pushing Jewish propaganda because it suits their interests to have a multicultural, multi-ethnic, pluralistic society. It's not natural. Because that's how nations are formed. Like I said, you know, the more similar you are, the more grounds there are for intimacy and you know, relationship. That's true whether it's in a personal relationship, or it's true whether it's in a wider society or a nation itself. And that's why you have certain things which are similar, customs and culture, and you mentioned language there. And then you put a border around that, and then you call it Finland or call it Pakistan or whatever, England. So, I mean, you're in a better situation in the United States, Patrick, because you've got a bigger landmass for that to take place. And I think you probably have more spine, in one sense, among white people over there, because your average sort of Trump supporter has been disgruntled into, you know, so political and cultural interest. Whereas over here, we don't really have that. The white middle classes are just usually liberals. If they're not your typical hateful Twitter types engaged politically, they'll just be like apathetic and, you know, wanting to just make money, and they're not really interested. And, you know, they haven't sat down and thought through the implications of the demographic shifts in this country for their children, you know, and their grandchildren, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I think, though, there are facts on the ground. You know, the Israelis have a very overt and explicit policy of creating facts on the ground in the areas which they want to take from the Palestinians who had been living there for generations. They build a little settlement. They build an outpost, and then they put walls up around it, and a settlement, and then houses, and more things. And these are facts on the ground. And the Jewish-dominated elite, and we have an elite, and the elite's not all Jewish, but I think it's undeniable that the agenda of the elite is very much, if not dictated, it is heavily, heavily influenced by Jewish priorities. And they're creating facts on the ground demographically. So they move people here. And it's very hard when people are here and established. In this country, we don't have a history of deportation. Maybe some illegal aliens get deported in small numbers in the past. I guess you had Eisenhower's Operation Wetback. Even Obama, there was a little bit of deportation. But the thing is, there's an expectation of due process, and the numbers that are here now just overwhelm any kind of due process. So they've just brought it over countless. We have no idea. I mean, they've been saying 11 million forever, but it's. Easily two or three times that much, and they're just flooding in here like crazy. We're not going back to 1960. But on the other hand, you do have an awareness now. It's crunch time. People are seeing that something's desperately, desperately wrong, even if they're having trouble enunciating it, even if they're having trouble saying what caused it, even if they don't know what to do about it. But they know something's desperately
wrong. They can see it.
Wrong, yeah. And you know, the thing is, leadership, I think, can emerge. It can emerge in a hurry, but it doesn't necessarily have to. And right now, there's no leadership that is that any big share of the population not only can they not recognize it, they can't even see it. I mean, there are potential leaders out there, but we had these elections you mentioned in Virginia. Terry McAuliffe, who's one of the most reprehensible people in our country, he was defeated, and that's a good thing. It is a very good thing that he was defeated. But the person who was elected, this Youngkin guy, he was able to take advantage of people's widespread repulsion at critical race theory and whatnot. But that's not his agenda. That's really not his agenda. His agenda is just corporate tax cuts and whatnot. The same old thing that's failed us for the past 50 years. That's his agenda. So he's not going to be a leader. It was great to humiliate Terry McAuliffe. But there's no semi-household name out there that is, the closest thing we have to it, I guess, is Tucker Carlson. But half the time, he just spews platitudes about Martin Luther King and, you know, we're all created equal in the eyes of God and this and that.
Yeah, I mean, Tucker needs to get with the program, really, and, you know, acknowledge reality. That's, you know, as I said, I was listening to him last night, and I just get irritated by him. It's just like, Tucker, grow up, you know. demographics matter, whether you like it or not. And this is not the same America that you even grew up on as a boy, and it's not going back to that.
It's not the same America 20 years ago. We're really
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, think the past 10 years, gay marriage was still almost a joke 10 years ago. It wasn't really a serious possibility. And here we are. The trannyism, that wasn't the thing, and now it's the thing. And the overtness of the attacks on whites.
Yeah. Exactly. And this whole immigration thing, you see, is reaching boiling point because people can't see it. They might not be able to articulate it. They might not know how it's happening, why it's happening. But we almost, I mean, if you went back to the, you know, in the 70s, this is, you can tell it's coming from the same people if you didn't know before, if you knew anything, because they do the same thing. It's such a parallel with what they're doing with, you know, inflation. First, they deny it. And they say, well, it's, you know, maybe happened a little bit, but it's nothing for you to worry about. You know, they don't, you know, so it's transitory. And then they come out and say, okay, it's here to stay, but it's actually good for you.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, it'll, you know, and they did the same thing with immigration over here. It's not really happening. This guy, Enoch Powell, who most of the country support, this guy is a complete and utter maniac, scaremonger about all this immigration. And then it was, okay, it's happening, but we need a little bit of immigration. We've got, you know, we've got an aging population. And then it was like, okay, people are getting concerned about this. We'll get it under control. We've now acknowledged there's a problem. We're going to get it under control. And then it moved on to immigration's good for you. You don't own this country. You've got no unique claim to this country. We are a multicultural society. And if you don't like it, racist, evil one, you're going to prison. You know, that's what they've done with that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the last step on that ladder, it goes from it's good to you to you deserve it. I think that's really the last step. You deserve
And they're very bold now because the demographic shifts are so dramatic. But this is reaching a point because the initial influx of, in quotes, legal immigration was bad enough. But they've been saying they're going to get control of it. And they're going to get control of it because people, are, you know, the shouts are getting louder to get control of it and to stop it. And it's quite obvious to most people in the country who care about this that the government is now lying. That they're just saying they're going to get control of it, but they've no interest in getting control of it. In fact, they're accelerating because we've got almost as many illegal immigrants, carte blanche, coming across in boats across the English Channel, illegal immigrants under UN law, as far as I understand it, and under EU law. And those numbers are now going through the roof in a way that, which is how they started legal immigration back in the 60s and 70s. So far from stopping it, they're just accelerating it. And, you know, it's criminal, Patrick. And, you know, the heads need to roll for this at some point for what they've done.
So we had Terry McAuliffe be humiliated. And is he really going to have, I mean, it's a humiliation. Is he going to have any real repercussions? Probably not. But one of the things that's notable about Terry McAuliffe is he was the governor during Charlottesville, and actually, I mean, he's the one who should be on trial for Charlottesville. There is an article in the Unst Review or Unst.com by that term, written by, I think, an anonymous author. I think it's called The Charlottesville Survivor or something, who's the author. But McAuliffe should be the one on trial. He was the governor. He was in command of the state police, and there was a setup aspect to that. But the thing is, in the wake of the Charlottesville event, he famously said that these white nationalists, they had no place in Virginia and no place in this country. Okay, so white people petitioning their government for the restoration of their civil rights have no place in this country. No place in this country. And yet, a Haitian who's never stepped foot here has a right in this country as soon as they get here. And, you know, if they come here with a child and aren't housed together, then who wants to be a millionaire? You get to be a millionaire. We'll give you $1 million. And it's just so blatant in our faces.
Yeah, that's what I would refer to. I don't know why you would refer to it, you know, in America like this, but back in Ireland, that's what I would refer to as fighting talk, you know, when you start saying things like, you've got no right to be here in your own backyard. You know, I mean, it's just unacceptable.
Well, you think
and you are seeing a reaction.
Yeah, you're seeing a reaction. So we have no right to be here. People who are express our views have no right to be in this country. We have no right to be in this country, but everybody else does. People who have never stepped foot here, whose you know, ancestors did nothing to build the country, they have a right to be here. And then at the same time, you see these things with George Floyd, a criminal who the police were unable to prevent him from dying of a heart attack, and so they're sent to jail, and his family is given $27 million. Well, we're at the break.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back to the show. Where would we be without synthesizer music? I don't know. So far we've been having kind of rants back and forth about how horrible things are and whatnot. But everything's not horrible, and sometimes you get encouragement from sources. And you were speaking at Mark Collett's event over the weekend, and you found it energizing. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it? And it was a big victory, right? I mean, why don't you tell us what made it a big victory?
Yeah, well, yeah. Without getting into too much details, there was tremendous efforts to stop the conference. Antifa got involved. There was another Antifa type or an Antifa spin-off group, I forget what their name is, that got involved, and they eventually ended up hounding the hotel, and the hotel tried to cancel the event. I mean, you're talking about, you know, three course meals booked, as well as the actual conference venue itself and all the food that was being supplied. At one point, they refused to supply even basic supplies like water. And in fairness to Mark, he wasn't having it, and he pushed back, and he said, "We have the right to be here, and we've paid you," etc. And the police were called, and he communicated with the police that we had the right to be there, and they agreed. So there was a sort of a deal struck with the hotel they're putting on the venue that we could go ahead with the conference, and then we had to leave, which was better than not going ahead with the conference. But, you know, there we are. There was no good reason for throwing us out of the hotel. As I say, there was a hell of a lot of food that had to be thrown out. There was 250 people there who had signed up for a night in the hotel and a three-course meal, and they had to be, you know, they were denied that, and all that food was wasted. But we dug in, and we had a good conference, and then we all got together in a different bar later on where we could both have a drink, or whoever wanted to eat could eat. And, we just sort of dug in, and there was there was a lot of people there, and it was an eye-opener, and there was a sort of a sense of, I don't know, there was a sense that, I think, you know, the propaganda against white people is that you know, we all think that we're, because we are, you know, split around the place a lot of the time, particularly in places like England, smaller places, a lot of people will be experiencing multiculturalism. And so you tend to think, well, there's not that many of us out there, maybe. But there was 250 people there that made it. And if there's 250 people there, there's probably going to be at least double that who could have made it, but they maybe had work commitments, or they had family commitments, or whatever. And then God knows how many thousands, maybe millions of people who could be there, but who are just intimidated or brainwashed, and don't realize that that's the place that they should be if they care about their country and their children and their futures. So there was, I think, you had this tremendous solidarity of people who were like-minded, who had shared experiences, and there's a sense of safety in numbers there, I guess.
Okay, well, we will go off, and at the top of the hour, we'll start taking calls.
We need leaders to lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.